racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
1 week in April, azaleas blooming, an American treasure, the ride of spring.
It's here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's here. It's time. It's the Masters, the first major of the year. So hi and welcome. In the grill room with Bob and Jay, I'm Bob. And I'm alongside Jay Randolph Jr. You know him much better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, there's no hiding the emotions. You and I wait for this first major every year. It seems to, in some ways, get quicker. In other ways, it gets longer. But certainly a lot of excitement in the air.
We've been talking about it for a long time. The collision course that so many of the world's best players were on gathering this week at Augusta. And I got to tell you, Bob, I mean, I got fired up Saturday. When I saw Jennifer Kupcho slapping on the 13th hole in two and make eagle, I mean, that was about as cool as it gets. And then Sunday you got the kids and tournament week is here. Let's get to the first tee on Thursday. I cannot wait.
Yeah, and you and anybody that's ever sunk a 10-foot putt probably joining you in that excitement level. Well, before we get to the meat of this show, let's take a moment to congratulate Corey Connors on winning the Valero Texas Open. I mean, come on. A Monday qualifier. And, of course, it got him the last spot here in the Masters. But since 1980, Jay, he's the fifth guy only to Monday qualify and go on to win the event. That is quite an accomplishment. I'm going to get your thoughts on Corey Connors. But first, I think our listeners want to hear from Corey.
Yeah, wow. It feels amazing. I've been close a few times over the last year and a little bit. And feel like I've learned a lot in those situations, and that really helped me today. And couldn't be more excited to kind of get over the edge and get the job done. Really fortunate to be in this position, and super excited to be able to call myself a winner. It's also my first professional victory ever in any event. So I didn't really play a lot of mini tour golf. I started my professional career in the McKenzie Tour and PGA Tour Latino America for 1 year, but didn't have any wins there and didn't have any wins on the web.com tour. So this is it. I know the course really well, so I'm really excited to get back there. It's a place I think I can play really well. Pretty comfortable turning the ball right to left, and that's, I think, pretty important out there, the predominant shot shape that you need.
All right, Jay's talking about he knows this golf course. The thing that blew me away, and I want your reaction, first time you ever won a professional golf tournament happens to be on the PGA Tour. I mean, that's pretty strong.
This is off the charts. I mean, first of all, he had to get in a six-person playoff at the Monday qualifier. I mean, he goes from a Monday qualifier to a Monday at Augusta. I mean, this is... you thought Adam Long was unique. I mean, this is crazy. Now, he had shown game as a younger player. He competed well and was runner-up in the USAM, which got him into the 2015 Masters. And it probably should be noted that in his second round that year, he shot 69. He opened with 80, and he missed a cut. But, I mean, the man had a stretch where he birdied four of the first five holes, then bogeyed 6, 7, 8, and 9 to lose the lead, and then played an unbelievable back. Man, he only had four pars on his card. And who knows what this means for him. I mean, the confidence, the rest of the year. The changing of the life, like we saw with Adam Long and Andrew Landry, who he'll be paired with. I mean, he hit a lot of tremendous shots, and Charlie Hoffman wasn't backing down. Charlie was firing at pins. You know, I thought going into Sunday, this was just going to be kind of a ho-hum, let's get this thing done and get to Augusta. And this guy proved me wrong. Huge win for Corey Connors. Congratulations to him and all the folks up north that support him. And they'll be out in full force this week at Augusta. Those Canadians love coming down to Augusta.
Yeah, well, they better bring their wallet. somebody had asked me this morning about a ticket for Sunday and the going rate around the outskirts of Augusta National Club, because got to be a certain distance before you can do any negotiating, was just north of $2,500. That's for Sunday. Now, of course, if Tiger's in the mix on Sunday, there is no amount of money that'll get you on the grounds. I mean, it'll just be incredible. How about Adam Long and Andrew Landry? They're paired with Connors. You think those three guys walking down the first fairway on Thursday are going to have a little bounce in their step?
Well, I mean, I think it's just phenomenal. As you know, Adam Long from St. Louis, Missouri, played his high school golf at Francis Howell here in St. Louis. I mean, you know, this is just this is what you dream of as a kid. You know, to I mean, most of us just dream about getting to go there. Now you're playing in it. You're playing in the championship. You got the three first timers with you, guys that have all just won for the first time. And for all of them, really kind of surprises when you look at the overall scheme of things. I think it's great. I love that pairing.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say those three guys playing with house money. All right, a big congratulations to the members of Augusta National on putting such a wonderful first-time Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship. Jay, you touched on it a little bit. I think it was spectacular. I cannot applaud the people at Augusta National enough for the effort. It just adds so much. I mean, now you have the women's amateur on Saturday. You have the drive, chip, and putt on Sunday. And then you got, you know, the big elephant in the room, the Masters itself. Fabulous addition to an already incredible week here at Augusta National.
Bob, for a membership that we both know, in all honesty, for a long time, could have cared less what anybody thought. Under Billy Payne, and now under a former U.S. amateur champion, Fred Ridley, they're starting to get it. They're definitely getting it. Saturday was the biggest day for women's golf that I can remember. I've made no bones about it. I frankly have lost. I don't know who won at the Dyna or the ANA. I really don't. I don't know. I don't follow the LPGA Tour. It pains me because I grew up with Big Mama and Nancy Lopez and Beth Daniel and Donna Capone and Mary B. Porter and all these great gals and, you know, Annika, you know, and Annika's about the last time I followed her and Lorena. This was special. This, you know, I remember 1979 when a guy named Irvin Magic Johnson played for Michigan State and a guy named Larry Bird played for Indiana State, and they met in the NCAA championship, and it changed everything. Everything. I'm not saying this is what happened on Saturday, but it was a big moment for women's golf, and I've got a reason to pay attention now. I loved watching Jennifer Kupcho. I mean, when you slap it on, when you knock it on 13 and 15, I don't care who you are. When you do that, and somebody said to me, well, they played the course easy. I said, the course isn't easy. You got to hit the shots, man. And she did, and I love seeing both of them getting fired up. It was tremendous. I don't know that they could have written a better script. I think, you know, a lot of people started hearing about it the day after and going, oh, man, too bad I missed it. I think it'll be bigger and better next year. Congratulations to a membership that has seemingly kind of begun to understand that it does matter. You know what I mean?
Well, I want to get you a little excited. So why don't we switch to the Masters now, and you'll hear the excitement in Jay's voice, because Jay, as long as myself, We just love the Masters. I mean, there's so many things about it. Been some changes this year, Jay. I don't know if you heard about that fifth hole. Really been extended. Going to play just under 500 yards. Very difficult par four. A welcome addition. But Tiger did make the comment, and you know this as well as anybody. Whenever they make a change here at Augusta, when you arrive, you don't even notice that it's been changed. I mean, they're just magicians in that way. Or, closer to the truth, instead of magicians, they got deep pockets. And when you have deep pockets, you can make anything look old. But that fifth hole is going to be a good one.
You know, I heard Ricky talking about it on Monday. And talking about how he liked the new view from the tee. He thought it gave him a better feel for the hole, that he didn't have to necessarily have to hit his tee shot so close to the bunkers. I think it's going to be interesting this year, Bob, scoring-wise. And I know weather maybe has been a factor, is going to be a factor early in the week. I hope it will not affect the tournament proper that much. And, of course, as you said, they can do Houdini-like things with the conditions because of that dough that they've spent. This is going to be the longest this golf course has ever played. How will that affect scoring? I don't know. I don't know. We've seen, Bob, that, you know, you can make it as long as you can, but these guys are longer than they've ever been. So that's one of the other sides I'm looking for this week, is what type of scoring are we going to have? Are we going to have a week where 7 or 8 under wins the Masters tournament? Are we going to get into double digits and approach the latter teams? I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, well, the beauty of this event is somehow that score doesn't even seem to matter. You know, it's in comparison to who else that you're competing against, is the incredible part. All right, I hope you're a little bit hungry. If you were at the Champions Dinner, which is annually held on Tuesday night, you would have been offered a Caesar salad or a wedge salad, and then a prime bone-in cowboy ribeye, or if you're a fish lover, you can eat mountain trout.
No thanks.
not good for the waistline, but certainly tasty. Macaroni and cheese, cream spinach, my favorite. They also got cream corn on there, steamed broccoli, then some desserts and a little wine from Napa Valley. Sounds pretty good to me, Mr. J.
Yeah, I think it'd be real cool to have the opportunity to set up a menu with the names like Player and Nicklaus and Tom Watson and Ben Crenshaw and on and on and on. It's good to see Fuzzy back in the mix a little bit. Saw him interviewed on the Golf Channel, and always good to see the Fuzzbuster, the man who won it in his first attempt in 1979. Hard to believe, Bob, that was 40 years ago that Fuzzy won the Masters.
Boy, oh boy, that's a scary thought. I can see him standing under that tree like it was yesterday. So anyway, we're going to have a little more discussion on the Masters coming up in just a moment.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll take a look at the contenders and hear what they have to say.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
1 week in April, azaleas blooming.
Oh, yes, it is that week. And glad to have you in the grill room with Bob and Jay. Masters Week. You can find Bob on Twitter at Bob Bupka, V-O-G. I always like pointing out that V-O-G properly is for the voice of golf. And I'm at STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And there'll be a lot of Twitter chatter about the Masters. And Bob, we were talking about the Champions Dinner. I guess we should pick up where we left off last year. Patrick Reed getting his major last year at the Masters.
Yeah, kind of a surprise. A winner, local boy, went to Augusta State. Of course, comes into this Masters. Have to be candid. You know, the flap or whatever you want to call it that occurred over in Paris where Patrick Reed wasn't happy with some of the situations that unfolded.
The Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he's a little bit on the outside right now, but in some ways, I think that makes Patrick Reed play better. I mean, he likes doing things his way, and, you know, his way was good enough to get a green jacket last year, so we wanted to find out the state of his game this year. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I feel like the game now is where it needs to be. You know, we've put in a lot of hard work throughout, you know, basically the entire year. And, you know, it's just, it's those things that you just need, when you come here, you need to be mentally as well as physically ready to go out and play. And I just need to go out and put four solid rounds together.
Patrick Reed telling us that he's ready. And boy, oh boy, not many have ever won back-to-back. Actually, only two guys in history, Tiger Woods and Nick Faldo. So Patrick Reed trying to attempt something very difficult to attempt. I don't think it's going to be that difficult if the world's number one, current number one, wins a Masters. He's somebody that you and I have spoken highly of for a good number of years. His name is Justin Rose, former U.S. Open champion. Has his longtime caddy, Fulch, back on the bag. Fulch underwent some heart surgery 2 or 3 months ago, but apparently is completely recovered. And, you know, Rose had an interesting comment. He said, Fulch really earns his job on Saturday and Sunday when coming down the line and everything's, you know, up for grabs. It's great to have a steady caddy, and certainly Fulch fills that role nicely. Let's listen to Justin Rose on his confidence level coming to Augusta.
Yeah, confidence is up there for sure. I feel like I've had a decent year so far. I've had enough good golf to give me confidence, and I've had enough poor golf to keep me working hard, which is kind of sometimes a good place to be as well, because, you know, if the game comes sometimes too easily and results are just happening, you can sometimes, you don't get lazy by any means, but you don't quite know where the next level for improvement is. You're not forced to look inward. And, you know, I had a bit of a bad run coming off a month off, you know, Bay Hill, play, you know, first round of players, three bad rounds in a row, which kind of, you know, lit a bit of a fire under me to start working hard. And, you know, I've started to see the results as of late.
No surprise if Rose comes out on top.
Bob, I will tell you what. I mean, I know that Rory's the favorite, and there's a lot of dust and chatter. But Justin Rose and Augusta National go real well together. He was second in 2017, second in 2015. I mean, he barely ever is outside of the top 20. You know, there's a reason why he's number one in the world. He makes a lot of birdies too. And that's one of the things you have to do at Augusta. You're going to make some mistakes, but you look at the guys that usually win, especially if it's a decent weather week, they make a lot of birdies. Justin Rose has a huge chance to win this year's Masters, big time.
And somebody else that has a chance, he showed us, you know, what he could do in the Open championship, and I'm talking about that red-hot Italian, Francisco Molinari, and we wanted to find out from him, does Augusta National suit his game, or does it not?
I think it's, depends a lot on conditions, obviously, but usually it's a second-shot golf course. Obviously, tee shots are important, but not key, probably. Obviously, you can play from the rough. I think it's off the tee. It's important to miss on the good side. Every hole there's a side where most of the time you have a shot to the green, even if you're out of position. And then second shot. So that should suit my strengths and my game. I think what let me down in the past, obviously, then it's on the greens and around the greens. It's a very tough test because of the speed of the greens and the undulation. I hope to show the progress that I've made on the greens and around the greens in the last few months and get a good performance in this week.
Well, if he's on his game, he's proven to me that he's one tough cookie. Or I should say one tough pizza.
Well, you know, he validated that British Open with the win at Bay Hill, very impressive, and was playing and played very well at the match play. So it seems like his game is in good form. He's never really had much success in, seven appearances at the Masters. His best finish was a tie for 19th in 2012. He did shoot a pair of 70s over the weekend last year to finish tie for 20th. But as we've talked about, you just can somehow see at some point, maybe not this year, but Francesco Molinari being in the Butler cabin getting a jacket.
That would be no big surprise. Certainly our next guest in the grow room with Bob and Jay, Bryson DeChambeau. The main question with Bryson, will he putt with the flagstick in or will he not? He tells us exactly his strategy.
You know, if you got a unique situation where the flag isn't sitting in the cup all the way and it has some wiggle room and it is blowing towards you, there will be certain times where I will pull the flag out just because the geometry doesn't work at that point and the physics doesn't work at that point. So for me, I really try and look and evaluate the situation, see what the best strategy is. I think that's the cool part about leaving the flagstick in now is that you start to see players' strategies come out based on what they know about the whole situation. And so for me, on a downhill putt, if it's not windy, I will definitely use it to my advantage.
Well, the mad scientist, not disclosing too much there, but, you know, when greens are as fast as they are, I got to believe, Jay, that leaving that flagstick in has to be an advantage.
It's going to be interesting. I do think we'll see some. As you know, Bob, those putts pick up pace. It's not going to surprise me to see some of those putts that track and get a little pace hit the flag and don't go in. But I do think, as he said, the geometry, whatever, you know, can you imagine Sam Snead talking about geometry? But you know what? Bryson DeChambeau is the kind of guy that I get the feeling he's either going to be right in the mix Sunday or not a factor. I don't think he's one of those guys that just plods his way through and finishes 12th. I think he's either going to be flashy from the get-go at this tournament or kind of an also-ran. But you know what? More than likely, he'll be in the mix just because he's got the talent. Another guy that I think we both know just seemingly fits at Augusta National is Rombo, John Rahm. And, I mean, I think he's got a huge chance this week.
Yeah, and he tells us very clearly he's an emotional player. He's no robot.
It's just the way I am. I'm a very passionate person. Everything I do, for the good and the bad. It's very enjoyable when I win, and I really don't like it when I lose. Through those difficult times, it's, you know, there's always been great players who always show and have the emotions and bring them through in the difficult times. Seve is a prime example of it, and Tiger is as well. You know, some of the best players in their generations were able to show and use it to their advantage. I'm not a robot. I'm not an emotionless person. I'm not act like I'm trying to do that, because I'm not. I just slowly trying to control myself a little better, and a lot of it has come with maturity. And then when you come to situations like this in a major and being in contention, a lot of it is just experience. You need to put yourself in there to know how you're going to react and then learn from how you react.
Well, he certainly is a very emotional player, but he's paired with Tiger Woods, and I got to believe, Jay, I would not be overly surprised if I see that Spaniard in a green jacket come Sunday.
No, and I kind of like the fact he's with Tiger, to be honest with you. I think it kind of fuels Rahm. Also, my dog, I've been talking about, Hao Tung Lee. I think it's a little early for him to do it at Augusta, that's an interesting pairing. I think Rahm's got to be one of the top five. I really think so. He's right. You've got to be able to channel that emotion the right way. At times, like Sergio, he doesn't. Experience helps, and he's gotten a lot of it, and we'll see how it pays off this week paired with Tiger.
Well, he said one important thing as far as I'm concerned. He said he doesn't like to lose, and the greater that feeling becomes, I think it enhances your chances of winning. Well, next, he knows more about winning than most people will ever learn. He probably forgot more about winning than most people will ever learn. His name is Tiger Woods. He has 80 titles. He has 4 green jackets. But the most amazing thing, he has been 14 years since he won a Masters. 14 years. So the question has to be, can he win again?
I feel like I can win. I've proven that I can do it. And I put myself there with a chance to win the last 2 major championships of the year last year. And I was right there and just needed to have a couple more things go my way and not throw away a couple shots here and there, which I was able to do at East Lake. And I just feel like that I've improved a lot in the past about 14 months, but I've more than anything, I've just proven to myself that I can play at this level again. And I've worked my way back into one of the players that can win events.
So we'll have to wait and see. We're certainly not going to doubt him from in the grill room with Bob and Jay. We've been Tiger fans for a long time.
Yeah, we sure have, and criticized the times for it, and I don't care. Because again, I still think there's nobody that's ever played the game like him, and he can still find it. He can win this golf tournament. Lots going to have to go right, but he knows the place as well as anybody, so it's a huge advantage. And I hope that he's in the mix going into Sunday because that's good for golf.
Well, let me ask you about one other player. He's trying for the 5th time to complete that career Grand Slam. Talk to me a little bit and our listeners about Rory McIlroy.
Well, I just think, I've been working on my DraftKings team and I've been watching guys on YouTube that do it every week. I don't see how you can avoid the guy. I mean, Rory, it seems to set up magnificent for him. You know, he was 4th in 2015, 10th in 2016, tied for 7th in 2017, and then the disappointment of last year in the final round was 74. He ended up tied for 5th. He's playing better than anybody in the world. He showed that up until his match with Tiger at the match play. He cleaned their clock at the Players Championship. And, it gets tougher every year. I mean, because you start, he had the opportunity, it's hard to believe this is his 5th chance for such a rarefied air. He's my pick this week. I got a text from somebody today, said, who do you like? I said, Rory and Rahm. They said, Rory can't finish. And I wanted to say, what are you talking about? I'm a history guy. The game is about history in so many ways. I want to see history Sunday, and I want to see this wonderful young man from Ireland get it done. I say young man. He's 30 now. That's young to me and Bob.
And no about a doubt that. Well, I think you're very, very smart there, Rory McIlroy, certainly with an outstanding chance. there are other players, and that shows how strong this field is, because we got Brooks Koepka, three-time major winner. We got Jordan Spieth, three-time major winner. We got somebody in Paul Casey that I think could get the job done. Ricky Fowler, somebody that you and I like a lot, Kevin Kisner. I mean, it just goes on and on, Jay.
We haven't mentioned Dustin Johnson. I mean, you know, if he goes out and shoots 467s, is it going to surprise anybody? Uh-uh. No. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, people are talking about him. You know, let me tell you something. Bubba had a smile on his face on Sunday watching those young kids. And, you know, I mean, if there are horses for courses, you look at Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson. Another guy that's starting to get talked about because of his distance is Gary Woodland and the way he's played. I mean, this thing has got so many different angles to it. And, you know, until they put the peg in the air and start getting it going, it's all chatter till then, but it sets up to be one of the greatest masters of all time. You know, I say that, and you know, we'll probably have something goofy happen, but I don't see it. I think we're beyond goofy. I think we got too many guys playing too well for this not to be a world class championship.
Well, Jay, you made your selection. I was kind of leaning that way, but it wouldn't be good for the show if we both picked the same guy. So I'm going to go with the mad scientist, Bryson DeChambeau, to win his first major championship. Yeah, I fully anticipate it being exciting right down to the final putt.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, where you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected. Well, Bob and I have given our thoughts, and now it's time to hear from the mouth that roars, Alex Maselli from MorningRead.com. We'll get his thoughts on who he thinks will don the green jacket when we come back right after this.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Time of the Masters.
Joining us now, he's the founder publisher of Morning Read, the fastest growing golf publication in the universe. If you don't have it, you should get it. MorningRead.com. Get up to date information on what's happening in the world of golf. Alex Maselli, thanks for joining us as we get ready for another Masters. And going to be somewhat of a oddball question for you, but it's brought about by the fact that I'm hearing some numbers tossed around already. Come Sunday, if you want admission to watch the fourth and final round, it's in the price range of around $2,500. What, in your opinion, makes the Masters worth that kind of money?
Nothing. If you're asking my opinion, there's no way in the world I would pay $2,500 to come watch a round at Augusta National. That being said, I've been spoiled like you've been spoiled and have come here numerous years, and so I guess that's part of the reason why. But for the person that hasn't come here before or hasn't been able to see if it's a Tiger Rory matchup down the stretch or a Jordan Dustin Johnson matchup down the stretch, $2,500 is probably well worth the admission ticket. And I think it comes down to the venue itself, which is marketed to such an extent that, you know, there's not one person that's a golfer in the world, not just this country, in the world, that would not want to come to Augusta National. And so you add that into the fact that you're seeing some of the best players in the world play what is presumably one of the best golf courses in the world with a unbelievable experience. I think that's why you get to the point of $2,500, which, again, I will reiterate, I would not spend.
You know, Alex, two things that I hear almost universally from fans or patrons exiting the grounds of Augusta National, very popular is it's a lot prettier than I thought it was. It's a lot hillier than I thought it was.
Well, you get forget the pretty part from players. And listening to Brooks Koepka earlier today, you heard players talk about the fact I had no idea how hilly it was when they first come to Augusta National. So that's one of the things. The pretty part, I mean, it is immaculate. And what's interesting about that is that if you go back and look at some of the older photos, and I'm not talking back in the 30s and 40s, I'm talking back in the 60s and the 70s. This place was never like that to the extent that it is today. It was rough in edges and so forth and so on. But I guess that's similar to what you would see at TPC Sawgrass. At the early days of that, it was very rough on the edges. But now there's no rough spots anywhere on this golf course or around the areas around the golf course. It is pristine. And it's a great experience. But at the same time, Bob, I think it makes it hard on those people that run golf courses in this country, everybody thinking they're supposed to be like Augusta National, which is just not the case.
All right, Jordan Spieth. Certainly a big question mark as he comes to the Masters. I've heard constantly the comments that, well, when he gets to the Masters, everything will be fine and dandy. Are you in that camp?
No, I'm not in that camp. I think Jordan Spieth has shown more disdain for his game than he's shown positive attitude towards his game. I think he's saying all the right things and doing all the wrong things, meaning when he's on the golf course. I mean, you don't go 42-31 when you're in contention in Valero on Saturday and for people to think that you're doing okay. He has just not shown when he's under the gun that he can do what he needs to do. And I know a lot of people think it's his putting, but I don't think it is. I think it's between his ears. And it manifests itself more in the driving than I think anywhere else. So this golf course, in a lot of ways, is not as demanding on players from a driving standpoint. But yet, if you don't have the right angles in these greens, you will be spending a lot of time trying to make 5 and 7 footers for par. So Jordan Spieth has to come out with a different attitude and show something other than what he's shown in 2019. And I just don't know if you can just flip the switch and do that.
Alex Maselli joining us, founder and publisher of Morning Read, somebody that appears to be completely under the radar. And it amazes me because of his talent. And of course, I'm talking about Dustin Johnson.
You know, Bob, I don't care what putter he's got in his hand. I mean, I've seen Dustin Johnson putt great. Obviously, you can remember when he won at Oakmont for the U.S. Open, but he just doesn't seem to do what you need to do around this golf course to be successful. And I think I give all the credit to Dustin Johnson for all the issues he's had over his career, personal issues. He's fought through all of that and turned out to be a really good guy, actually. But that doesn't change the fact that I think this golf course is just one of those courses that will frustrate him until he turns out to be on the Champions Tour.
All right, somebody that I'm personal friends with, so I have a hard time, ascertaining his chances. I'd love to get a scouting report from you. We watched Kevin Kisner win the match play. He finished second in the match play a year ago. Does Kevin Kisner have the game? He grew up only 45 minutes from Augusta in one of our favorite towns, Aiken, South Carolina, home to Palmetto Golf Course. Does Kevin Kisner have what it takes to win here?
Well, I think from an emotional standpoint, he does. I think his golf acumen is clearly good enough. The problem is you look at his his record in his career, not just at Augusta National, but just in general. I mean, he played really well at Zurich when he was in a team situation, played really well in two match play events, struggled to finally get a tour event, a stroke play event, but finally did win one, even though he'd gotten in contention numerous times. So I'm not sure that his game is going to fit here perfectly. He's not as high a ball hitter as I think you'd want. You know, these greens are such that when they really get them going, you want to have a really high ball. Lee Trevino used to talk about how his game never fit this kind of golf course, even though there's probably not a grittier competitor than Lee Trevino. Didn't matter how gritty he was, his game never fit this golf course. I'm just not sure Kisner's game is going to fit this golf course enough. But, you know, again, you got to give it to the attitude, and I love Kisner's attitude.
All right, go easy on the pimento cheese, Alex. Enjoy the week.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.